Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing this morning?
We are doing wonderful. Great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. And Charles, Thursday came and the NFL draft was taking place, and I thought I would be in this good place emotionally, and then my beloved Green Bay Packers started screwing things up, and a news came out with Aaron Rodgers and all this thing, and I was just a wreck emotionally on Thursday. What do you think of this saga right now between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and do you think that Brian Gutekunst and Aaron Rodgers, their relationship is salvageable at this point?
Well, I mean, you know, first and foremost, this is something that's been going on a really long time. You know, I mean, we're talking in December, January, you know, when it was clear that Rodgers was on an MVP track, and definitely wanted a commitment from the team that was going to be, a new contract, that would have at the very least lock him into, you know, the team in 2021, 2022. That's not what the Packers responded with. You know, they wanted to do a modest restructure, which they were going to have to do anyway, to try and keep some of the free agents, you know, going into next year, sign the draft class, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Rodgers and Gutekunst, this has been going on for years. You know, it's interesting. I literally forgotten writing a piece that Mike Sando retweeted a couple of days ago that I had written in 2018 when they were in the middle of their contract extension negotiations, and Rodgers had spoken to, you know, a number of people he was close to, just about feeling left out of the team, you know, by not feeling heard, you know, when it came to decisions that impacted him within the offense. So you're going back all the way to 2018 when that happened, and he still signed the extension, got a boatload of money, but I think the drafting of Jordan Love was sort of that, you know, fracture point where it planted a seed in Rodgers' mind that this is, A, a move they didn't tell me about, B, it's a move that clearly indicates that they're, you know, preparing for the future without me, and then C, I already have issues with this guy and feeling like I'm not appreciated and that he doesn't want to hear anything I want to say about, you know, what's going on with elements of the offense that affect me. So I, you know, it's a lot of drama. I've written obviously that, you know, Rodgers has, what's coming out of his camp is that Rodgers feels like he and Gutekunst are not people that can, you know, survive together, cannot work together, you know, on the team, and that it may be irreparable. Now that was aggregated into Rodgers says he wants Gutekunst fired. It's always fun having things aggregated that way.
Yes.
And I think what people have to understand is that, you know, when you're going back and forth with a team, it is possible for you or your representatives to tell the team, hey, I don't think these two guys can coexist anymore, and Aaron wants out. You should just trade Aaron. And not, hey, we don't think these two guys coexist anymore. You should fire that guy so Aaron can come back. Those aren't the same thing, okay? So from my understanding, sticking to what I was told very clearly, was that the message was relayed to Mark Murphy and made clear to the Packers that Aaron does not feel like they can coexist, and that Aaron wants to go. Like, hey, trade me. Let me go. And, you know, the Packers aren't inclined to do that. They're both dug in, and, you know, we're going to have to see where this goes. But the next escalation for Aaron Rodgers is clear. There's going to be June mandatory minicamps. Rodgers can choose to take part or not. If he does not, that's clear. You know, it's a clear signal to the team that I am on an escalation track to not play for you in June and to not show up in July when training camps start. We're going to dig in here, and I want to be traded, and let's move forward. His agent, David Dunn, took Carson Palmer through the faux retirement route back in 2011 to get the, you know, Cincinnati Bengals to trade Carson Palmer. They were adamant they would not. They said, go ahead and retire. We're not going to deal you. That may be where the Packers are at with Aaron Rodgers. And they can absolutely take that track and tell Aaron Rodgers, hey, retire. We paid you a bunch of money and a signing bonus. You can go ahead and pay us back that signing bonus money, you know, that you have not yet earned that would have been prorated, and retire. So it's not a good spot, I will say that. And the fact that Rodgers, so many things now that are out there, and Rodgers still has not said a word about any of them, including my report that, you know, he and Brian Gutekunst can't coexist with each other. You know, I think that silence speaks, but I will say this. I did put a paragraph in that story, and you always have to say this with Rodgers. He is someone prone to, when you report on him and things are going on behind the scenes, he will come out publicly later and say something opposite of that. He is a very political animal. I'm not going to ever lie about that for him. And he will express emotions behind the scenes. And then when it comes time to you know, speak on those emotions publicly, he will say something different. It's just who he is. He's not the only player to do that. He manages how he is viewed publicly. That's going to be a little more difficult this time around because a lot of people are reporting on him.
Well, I just hope he's up to the Jeopardy job. But we'll
me
see.
Too.
Here's the thing too. Like, it's, you know, people are like, well, geez, you know, he's talking about the Broncos, he's talking about the Raiders. Well, the Raiders, you know, these are the teams that we're talking about being his favorites. The Raiders, you know, Gruden would love to have Aaron Rodgers. He believes in Aaron Rodgers. Thinks Aaron Rodgers, this guy got plenty in the tank. You know, people are like, the Broncos don't make sense. Shailene Woodley's got a house in Boulder, Colorado. You know, that's his future wife. You know, I think there are elements of the Broncos roster that when you talk to Rodgers' camp, you know, they feel pretty good about the Broncos. So, like, the things that have come out here, this isn't some grand, you know, conspiracy. People aren't making these things up. And I get lit because, you know, you have the Pat McAfee show and A.J. Hawk goes on. He says, oh, I think this is garbage that, you know, he wants Gutekunst fired or whatever. Well, first off, you know, fine. I mean, if you want to split hairs and talk about exactly what was said in terms of, you know, can't coexist versus people aggregate and say, well, that means he wants him fired, whatever. I think it's frustrating to me that you have an army of people that are offering you all this information, and then you have this sort of typical, you know, A.J. Hawk's close to Aaron, and he's, oh, this is just garbage, but he's not going to put a finer point on what's going on with Aaron. What's Aaron thinking? What is he telling you? Say specifically, because if Aaron won't, don't just come out here and try to knock this stuff down and manage it politically. It is a mess, and someone made a really good point. I don't know who it was, but you know, I saw somebody on Twitter just sort of riffing on the number of teams that Tom Brady has screwed up, you know, since he's gotten to Tampa, you know, just sort of getting carte blanche, you know, going to a team that embraces him and says, hey, all right, we're going to hand the keys to you, that all these other quarterbacks notice this and it pissed them off. And, you know, now you have Russell Wilson wants this and Aaron Rodgers wants that. And, you know, you got teams, we can't win the Super Bowl with this guy, so we just got to get rid of him. You know, we're going to trade him and we're going to draft another guy. And it is, man, the NFL's an overreaction league.
Charles, I got to tell you, as a Packers fan, you did not make me feel any better one time throughout that whole thing.
I'm sorry. I mean, look, if you're the Packers, like, there's two tracks you can take here. I mean, you can eat the sandwich, you know, the less than desirable sandwich and just say, you know what, we screwed up here. Let's just get this guy back in the fold and do whatever we have to do to repair the relationship with Gutekunst. And I think it would have to be a lot of stuff that would have to happen behind the scenes to get those two together. Or you can just go the let's say, the historical route in the NFL and go, nope, we're the organization. You're the quarterback. We've paid you a ton of money. But that money does not mean you get to dictate, you know, things in the franchise. And if you don't like it, it is your prerogative to not play football. And again, you go back to Carson Palmer. Mike Brown told Carson Palmer, retire. Good, retire. We'll catch you later. And what changed that situation for Carson Palmer was Andy Dalton came out and played well. And David Dunn, who was Carson Palmer's agent, said to Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, hey, you got your quarterback of the future. Let's just get this. This is ridiculous. We're at the trade deadline. The Raiders need a quarterback. Let's just go ahead and move on. This nastiness can end. Now, if Jordan Love came out, let's say he lit it up and he looked great in mandatory minis. Let's say he goes into training camp, looks awesome. Say he even plays in some preseason games, looks great. That gives David Dunn an opportunity to look at Mark Murphy, the Packers president, and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, and say, look, you got your kid. Like, clearly this is working out for you. Great. Let's just do something that allows everybody to be happy and we can all move forward with our lives.
Charles, with the Titans, of course, news comes yesterday. Rashad Weaver, fourth-round pick, has a charge pending, a simple assault charge pending. What's your view of that situation? Do you think the – based on what you know of how teams vet and make sure before making picks, should they have known about this?
Well, look, the alleged incident happened pretty late in the process. You know, I mean, you're talking less than 2 weeks before the draft. You know, I have not, you and I texted about this. I have not been told by any NFL teams that they knew about this, but I'll be honest with you. It's not like I've pressed on this one and said, hey, well, you know, this Rashad Weaver thing, did you know about it? I think a couple of things Titans fans should be worried about here. Number one, the league's going to investigate this. Now, you know, this is part of why Lisa Friel's in the position, you know, she is with the NFL. And so when there's a domestic violence accusation, particularly, when you have a charge, this has now become a league issue. So that's number one. Number two, which is actually more important, is whether or not Rashad Weaver, you know, did the things that he's alleged to have done. And the incident reports, you know, the thing that definitely caught me was, you know, you have police officers saying in a report that he said he will hit a woman if she needs it. And that's paraphrasing here. But again, that's a pretty big allegation inside an incident report. Particularly when the incident report is pointing to an altercation that occurred inside a bar. And then, you know, I think even like minutes later, this woman being found on the street and witnesses, at least one witness saying that they saw Rashad Weaver, strike her or a large man strike her. It's bad. Like that's a really awful thing to have to deal with. If you're the Tennessee Titans, particularly if you should have known. I mean, like, if this is a guy you're going to draft, you know, you take it upon yourself that even though these were charges that were filed, I think Friday during the draft,
right?
You know, it's an incident that clearly the Pittsburgh Police Department was investigating for a bit before, you know, those charges were ultimately filed. And your area guys and your security people should be in tune with the potential people you're drafting. Now, your board's huge. In defense of the Titans, it's difficult to have, let's say your board is 150 guys or even 100, you know, say it's 125 to 150 guys. It's really hard to keep tabs, real-time tabs on guys, all those people, you know, right up into the draft. You some things slip through the cracks. And again, this wasn't a first-round pick. This was always going to be sort of a, you know, third, fourth, fifth round kind of guy, depending on, you know, how teams looked at him. So it's a difficult way for John Robinson to come out of the draft, you know, having already sort of rolled the dice on Caleb Farley. Everybody's talked about, you know, the potential injury history there. This guy hasn't played a ton at the position of cornerback. There's some dice rolls here. You know, the North Dakota State offensive tackle that they took is, you know, position change guy. That's another gamble. It was funny because when I looked at their draft class, actually Elijah Molden, the cornerback they took out of Washington, when we did the all-juice team, we sent out, or at least I did, I sent out the potential selections we were looking at for the team when we decided to finish this team for Terrez Paylor after he passed away. And Molden, when we sent out all the names, or me personally, when I sent all the names to all the teams that I deal with, Molden came back from enough teams that really liked him in the middle of the draft that he ended up on the all-juice team. So that was the one that, other than Farley, it was Molden that caught my eye because I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I had like probably a dozen teams hit me back and really tell me they thought Molden could be a guy in the middle rounds who could round into a really good, you know, starting caliber cornerback in the NFL. So try to give you some good news, something positive there. But man, it's John. You know, John Robinson will gamble. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Like you do have some, you know, general managers who their bio after a long enough period of time, you'll see in free agency, they'll roll the dice at times. They'll roll the dice in the draft, and I would hope that at some point for John, some of these dice rolls really start to work out, because it's been obviously been a rough go recently.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson discussing the latest on the Aaron Rodgers saga. Also, Rashad Weaver as well. When we come back, we'll react to what Charles had to say there. Also, get into a little bit more of Titans talk on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.